Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about post-election uncertainties in Africa. And with us tonight is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening to our listeners.
I hope everything's okay down there.
No, fine. No problem. So far, so good.
Thank you. We'll also be joined momentarily by Fred Omulo. He's a Kenyan journalist. He'll be joining us by phone from Kisumu. We're still trying to fix the connection there, but I hope he'll be joining us momentarily. And as I said, our topic tonight are the uncertainties surrounding African elections. Suleiman, general terms, in many countries where the result is not predetermined, there are uncertainties before and during and after the elections.
Actually, to be precise, for the past few years on the continent, we have had a couple of elections, and many of them have ended in uncertainties because of the multiplicity of factors that are existing on the ground, on the continent as a whole. To be precise, we can say that recently, not so long ago, we had elections in Gabon. They were inconclusive. They were concluded, but Bongo versus Ting, much as they went to the courts and the courts declared Bongo the winner, but Ting refused to accept the results.
Mm-hmm.
Zanzibar, we had elections, but to date, the opposition has never conceded a defeat.
Mm.
Burundi, elections were held. Virtually, there was almost no opposition. We come to Gambia. Luckily enough, elections were held. The man wanted to take them by force, but it was after a military intervention, a military arm twisting, that he had to leave power. Otherwise, he wanted to take it by force, just characteristic like any other leaders on the continent.
I see.
DRC,
mm-hmm.
We have had elections, Kabila versus Bemba. We have had Kabila again elected so many times ever since he started holding election 2002. There have never been elections in DRC which have ever been concluded and the opposition concedes defeat. Actually, we can with certainty say that it apparently seemed that with the competition with Bemba, the ultimate aim after election was to have Bemba dead.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily enough, he was able to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Recent areas, other countries, Uganda, as you very well know, Uganda elections were concluded. Someone went to court, but the main opposition has never conceded defeat. It has actually announced a government. We have got two governments existing in Uganda, one symbolically operating God knows from where, but there is a government which feels, the opposition, which feels, under Dr. Besigye, which feels that they won the election,
mm-hmm.
and then a government which was sworn in, and then the last one, which is in Kenya, where we are still in abeyance, but by all signs, one can see that the opposition is not going to accept a verdict from the court which will declare the president to have won the election, the incumbent to have won the election. So that is the position which we have had. We are not, when we are talking about uncertainties after election,
mm-hmm.
It has happened, it is happening on the continent, and it is continuing to happen on the continent, and it is worrying and very worrying.
I see. Well, maybe this is a good point to join Fred Omulo in Kisumu. He's a Kenyan journalist, as I said. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Douglas.
Yes, you're joining us a little bit late because of the telephone lines, but at the tail end of the contribution of Suleiman there, he mentioned Kenya. where they can't have the president sworn in. The earliest it can be September 9th. And that will only be possible if tomorrow the Supreme Court of Kenya delivers a judgment in the Raila Odinga and Kalonzo Musyoka versus IEC, ICBC and two others. First of all, an update on the situation there and the uncertainties we're talking about today.
Well, as far as the country is concerned, it's pretty quiet. The big event today was the swearing-in of the MPs and the senators who have just been elected, and the election of the speakers of the National Assembly and the Senate. So that was what happened today. But at the household level, if I can phrase it like that, is sort of a slowdown in activity. A lot of businesses and offices have decided not to open up tomorrow, at least where I am here in Kisumu. I understand the situation is the same in other parts of the country. And everyone is just focusing on this ruling that is supposed to come tomorrow, because the timelines for the presentation of a case, for the hearings and for the defense and everything is all anchored into law. So these days the Supreme Court has a specific deadline, a specific timeline that it must follow. And depending on what outcome we get tomorrow, we will likely or unlikely have the swearing in on September 9th. In the event that the Supreme Court ruled that the election was valid, then we have the swearing in sometime next week. I think next week, that one. But if they rule otherwise, then we enter into a new cycle again, which is going to be quite interesting. Maybe as we go through the show, I'm going to give you more details.
How many, which part of the two, the are likely to accept the results, whatever they are, or the ruling of the Supreme Court?
Pardon? Can you repeat that again?
My question is, which ruling of the Supreme Court would be accepted by the losing side? I mean, which part is likely to accept? Is the NASA group likely to say, well, fine, the Supreme Court has ruled, that's okay, or what do you think?
Well, and maybe I can widen the discussion here a bit. There are two possible rulings that everyone is focused on, and then there's a third option, which I'm going to mention here in a short while. In the event that the Supreme Court rules that the election is valid and we have the president getting a second five-year term, then there's going to be a lot of, blowback from the losing side. They have not mentioned what they're going to do next in that eventuality. As they've been moving since during the campaign, they've been very, very keeping their card very close to their chest. We didn't even expect them to go to court. And they went to court on the exact deadline, the day of the deadline. The deadline was actually, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, Friday. And they went there Friday, it says 7 days, they went there Friday at 10 p.m. And they went in with loads of affidavits and what they called evidence to prove that the election was not free and fair. So they've been operating in a very tight way. They don't divulge what they will do next, and everyone is kept guessing. And I guess that is one of the factors that is really making people a little bit jittery. They don't know how the opposition will react in the event that the court rules that the election was valid. Now, the other possible ruling that everyone is focusing on is if the court declares a fresh presidential election. Right? They have the option of declaring a fresh presidential election. They have the option of also declaring a complete total election, because the evidence that was presented by the opposition side was a little bit deeper than looking at the presidential vote itself. If you look at that and you see the anomalies and the mistakes and the outright fraud that was happening in various parts of the country, then you realize that this did not just affect the presidential vote. It affected the Senate, the women rep, the MPs, even down to the local representatives that we have in Kenya. We call them MCAs, members of the county assembly. So they can rule a repeat presidential election, or they can rule a complete election. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the second possibility, and that is what the opposition is craving for.
I see.
But there's another, there's another possibility that no one has considered. And I'm speaking with some people whom I can only call reliable sources. And they told me, did you look at the submission of the last lawyer who was in favor of the election? They presented the possibility of a government of national unity. It is sort of an olive branch coming out of the side of the government. And this lawyer acknowledged that, yes, there were some mistakes. Yes, they could have affected results in a big way. And that means the electoral system. We can't blame any of the sides. It means the electoral system or the electoral commission itself was not strong enough to do a solid election that was free, fair, and credible. Now, why was he saying this? Because tons of evidence. They actually presented 25,000 pages of forms and results that came from all over the country, showing that what was declared at the grassroots was not what was tallied at the National Tallying Center in Nairobi. They presented interesting forms that were not even the Electoral Commission, the original Electoral Commission forms. All these things are on record. So this lawyer presented the possibility of a government of national unity, which will work towards getting rid of the current IEBC, the Electoral Commission, and sit sort of like a caretaker government for 6-7 years, have a solid commission there, and then have a solid election at the end of that period, which should be 2024, if that offer is taken up. So that is another possibility that the Supreme Court can look at.
Very briefly, does the Supreme Court have the powers to shut that third course you mentioned?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay, Suleiman, given the track record of Supreme Court around the continent, they rarely rule in favor of the opposition. Not taking anything away from the Kenyan Supreme Court, do you see it having the guts to nullify an election?
From the historical records which we have, it rarely happens that I don't think there have been elections on the continent which have been nullified, even where glaring and quite obvious tampering with the voting and election process has taken place. They have always ruled in favor of the incumbent, in favor of whom has been declared at the beginning. That is why I'm sure even the NASA was not ready even to go to court, because it means nothing. For example, in Uganda, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the malpractices that occurred could have substantially affected the election. Who measures that substantial part of it? Mm-hmm. How will you measure the substantial effect on the election, which means it is an impossible? So that is why even before that in Uganda, the opposition leader had said he will not go to court, and he had not gone to court, not because there were no malpractices. The malpractices were there, but as you are saying, the records of the court is that they always rule in favor of the incumbent, and not because it is not deliberate. This is part of the whole system which is geared towards an unfair playground. That is why one wonders how the international community and the observers who observe elections hurry so much to certify election without considering the ground, whether the whole environment, where the whole playing field was actually leveled. Because you find the court system, like in Gabon, the king said no, he cannot accept it because the chief justice is also a mother to the president, something like that. So you find that the whole process, the electoral commissioners, the judicial commissioners, and so all these ones, the incumbents prepare it in such a way that should anything happen, things have to be ruled in their favor. For example, if I could, may go briefly, quickly, mm-hmm. in case of, for example, countries like Uganda or DRC, you would get direct military or security forces involvement into the electoral process. And it is direct, it is documented, it is clear, but the court, and even the courts go out of their way to acknowledge that there was interference. But then at the end of the day, they say it was not strong enough to justify the nullification of an election. That is why courts cannot be trusted. But let's hope that in the Kenyan situation, something will happen which is never expected. Oh, they will justify whatever decision they will take.
I see. Well, I'm coming to you, Fred. Just hold your thought a minute. I will go for a short break, and we'll be back to continue our discussion of the post-election uncertainties in Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Had a tough week? Need to relax or recharge? Well, this Sunday, let me deliver the perfect elixir straight to your ears. African music. I also bring you two interviews from East and West Africa. From Nairobi, meet girl group Band Becca. And from Accra, discover singer-songwriter Erly. So tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Relax, recharge, rock out on Music Time in Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing post-election uncertainties in Africa. Our panelists are Fred Omulo, a Kenyan journalist, and Suleiman Mugura, a South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 6 in Washington. Fred, you had Suleiman's contribution there, and the concern of men on the continent, actually, that Supreme Courts on the continent, some of them, they just want to go to maintain the status quo, so to speak. How much do you think the Kenyan Supreme Court weighs the idea of political instability in their ruling coming tomorrow?
Well, from the actions and the questions, the body language that the current Supreme Court have displayed over the last 5 days, a keen observer would realize that it's really down to two institutions. It's about the credibility of the Electoral Commission or the credibility of the Supreme Court. And so that pressure was there on this current bench because of the ruling that came last time, which involved the two same parties, actually. It was the current leader of the opposition, Raila Odinga, and the current president, Uhuru Kenyatta. Now, one thing happened that last time, which did not happen this time. The opposition alliance presented an affidavit of evidence which came down to details in terms of polling stations and places that numbers and figures were not making sense or that had been tampered with. That affidavit was thrown out in the last Supreme Court case ruling on the presidential elections. And this time around, after the opposition presented it on the last day, just an hour before the deadline, the Supreme Court admitted it. Once they admitted it, the questions that they are asking, both the defense and the opposition that presented that petition, really revolved around this particular affidavit, right? And I know that tomorrow, probably this is the only thing I can predict. I know that tomorrow it will form a basis to their ruling, whether for or against.
I see.
They are feeling the pressure of protecting their credibility as an institution. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Looking at their body language, the questions they've been asking. Mm-hmm. Number two, they know that if they rule in favor of that election, then their credibility, at least among the section of the country, which is about half of the registered voters who voted for the opposition, their credibility is gone. And it will probably determine how future handled. If the rule in favor of the opposition, then there's probably going to be a backlash from the presidential side, because what if a second election happens and it's the same government that is still re-elected in a free and fair and credible election? And Kenyan politicians, they are not beyond intimidating the judiciary. They do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So probably, and this is why the third option came in, to protect their credibility, they will probably hammer the Electoral Commission and allow the two antagonists, the government and the opposition, to form their government, having the politicians that make them happy, and then say, I can't call for a rerun because a rerun is by law anchored in law that you have to do within 60 days. Within 60 days from now, there is not enough time to actually reconstitute the Electoral Commission and have new faces there who will do a clean, fair, and credible election. It will just be the same old group of people doing and handling that process. So probably to protect their credibility, they can hit at the Electoral Commission and give the politicians a government of national unity, which the government side is already showing signs of willingness to constitute.
I see. Suleiman, talking of credibility of institutions, isn't the very reason that we're discussing uncertainties in post-election Africa is because these institutions, the electoral commissions, the courts, the special forces, are not credible at all, that the people can't trust them, that there's this anxiety going on after elections?
Precisely right, Douglas. In many countries, the institutions have been run down by the incumbents, especially given that many of our leaders on the continent have stayed 20, 30 years. All institutions have been run down. Uganda, 2016 election. Before the election, there were rumors that, from history, as a result of the fallout within the ruling group, information had already been given in the previous election that government has always, Mr. Museveni's party has always had a parallel hacking center where it manipulates the elections as they come in from the voting area. 2016, the area was identified. The leader of opposition went to that area. He called in the police to show them that this is the area which is being used as the hacking center. He was arrested, put in prison, until after the announcement of after the swearing in of the president. Number one, he was arrested. Number two, he was not allowed to put in a petition as a candidate. Number three, the one who put in a petition before the Supreme Court, the offices of the lawyers that were defending him, they were raided, presumably by the security officers. All evidence, all computers were taken. But regardless of all these happenings, the Supreme Court never made the mention of all those anomalies. So what kind of institution do you have? The security situation have got the audacity to elect a would-be president. Mm. They lock him up. They don't allow him to put a position. They don't allow him to give his judgment on the election. They don't even allow him to go and cast his vote. Instead, he's locked in prison. Then he's not allowed to petition. Then the one who petitions, there is bungling of the offices and all the evidence taken. Then after that, the Supreme Court declares that the president has a landslide victory. So what kind of judiciary is that one? Rotten, totally rotten. But it is still continuing. The security forces, they are still continuing. So even in other areas, in Gabon, in DRC, the international community hurries to say, let everybody go to court. But are there impartial courts, mm-hmm. or they are already compromised courts? So it is the failure of institutions which are supposed to be impartial which has brought around this. But all this was at the behest of the of the leaders who have clinged to power and they have spoiled the whole country as a whole.
I see. Fred, at least the situation was not as bad in Kenya as it's been in other countries that Suleiman is mentioning, like Gabon, like Uganda, like DR Congo. Although there are some instances where strange things happen during the election.
Yeah.
How do you read the mood of the people themselves? Have they their hopes in the Supreme Court to come up with a ruling that's acceptable to them? The general public I'm talking about.
Well, if you look at the side of the government, of course, last time the Supreme Court ruled in the favor of their candidates, and they are hoping that will be a repeat performance. The people who support the opposition are skeptical, but they are giving it a second chance, right? It's more of fine. We have to go through this process. Our principals, our candidates have declared that they think we can go through this process and succeed. So let us give them a chance. Let's give them some space to see what they'll say and hopefully give a ruling that is favorable to our aspirations.
Mm-hmm. Suleiman, last thought. For as long as we have flawed institutions, can we accept to have an election where people are confident the winner has won and there's been no underhand methods used?
No. But the consequences are worse. The other side is worse, which I'll comment upon.
Mm, briefly.
As we speak, mm-hmm. Cameroon is at the brink of two nations. If we don't take care in many of these countries, the populations, if we don't stop the monopoly of power, time is coming where people are saying, no, let us have two countries in one. If we are going to have one team to hold the power from independence to now, to hold the power for 30 years, and there is no hope of ever changing it, another group which has been marginalized, given that our countries are made of so many tribes, where you have two tribes or one tribe dominating power for 30 years, and it hopes to dominate it forever, the time is coming where countries are going to get disintegrated. Southern Sudan is getting disintegrated.
Yes.
We have to pray for Kenya. Cameroon is getting disintegrated. Uganda has got signs of disintegrating. DRC has got signs of disintegrating. Burundi is already disintegrating. If we don't take care, Rwanda ended up in a genocide. It is either disintegration or genocide. Until when the leaders learn that we have to be like soccer teams, where we agree that we have to have an impartial referee, and that a team, the cups have to change hands. It has to be Goma here this time, the next time Leopards, and so on. Not that it will be Goma here all through to be having the cup.
Okay. Lastly, Fred, what do you know? What time the court will rule tomorrow?
No, they have the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
The only indication we have that they will rule probably before 6 p.m. because the Chief Justice is a strong faithful of the SDA, the Seventh-day Adventist. And even the last hearing, last week, they had to begin on Saturday after 6 p.m. because he keeps the Sabbath from Friday to Saturday, 6 p.m. I know that tomorrow is the deadline. They have to give us the ruling. It will happen anytime before 6 p.m.
I see. Well, shall keep our ears to the ground and wait for what comes out tomorrow. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Fred Omulo, a Kenyan journalist, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show. Our producer tonight was Kwame Ofori. Our engineer was Skip Seth. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any other part of this program, you can still get it by going to our main website and it will all be there. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.